This won't even be worth watching.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 97th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey, as he has been for the other 96 chapters, is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello.
We're getting closer and closer to episode 100, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are that, and that's going to be a very special episode because that's going to have some sort of commentary in it. That's all we'll tease about it at this point.
Cause do you know why that's going to be a fun episode, Mike?
No.
One of the reasons.
Yeah.
Because it'll give us a brief reprieve
exactly.
from what we're doing. since it'll have nothing to do with the new adventures of He-Man. It'll be like, oh, we get to have fun for a week.
Exactly.
So in this episode of Masters in Space, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes in the series, which are episode 43, The Dream Zone, episode 44, Brain Drain, and episode 45, Pauly Shore, you're in the Army now. So we hope you're ready because it's time, unfortunately, to go back into space.
The sad thing is, I think I'm going to shock everybody today.
Submitted for your approval, the Dream Dimension, a landscape of the mind, created from our deepest thoughts and fantasies, a place where anything can happen, and often does.
First up today is episode 43, The Dream Zone, written by Michael Reeves, and it aired sometime in the 90s. That's all I'm going to do from here on out. I don't care when it aired. Mike, The Dream Zone, what did you think of the overall story plot, etc.?
It only took them 42 episodes or 43 episodes to actually get to an episode that I might have actually enjoyed more than anything else in this series.
Wow, positive start.
Yeah, this is nuts. Like, this is bizarro world at this point. Because if I'm saying positive stuff about this fucking show, oh, the world is about to break. I mean, me saying positive stuff about the New Adventures of He-Man is about as shocking as Optimus Soul and I agreeing on anything half the time.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, because that just does not work. But no, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fun. It's kind of a little bit predictable, but that's not a bad thing, because, like, oh, you know, Skeletor and Flog and the mutants have this dream machine thing, and I've seen this before where, you know, they did it in your favorite show, which is last year was the 10th anniversary. They did this exact same plot in 2007, 2008 in Transformers Animated, where they had the Autobots go into a dreamlike state with their minds going in but their bodies staying out. And this thing has been done to death. I mean, this dream machine, dreams, like, this has been done so many times in the last 30, 40 years, 50, 60 years in cartoons. So, you know, the very first time I remember seeing, like, a Dream Zone thing was a Bob Clampett Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs goes into Elmer's dream and basically turns it into a nightmare for Elmer Fudd. So it's not like it's anything to write home about, but for this series, it's actually really refreshing. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I actually did enjoy this. This is fun.
The rabbits are coming, hooray, hooray. The rabbits are coming, hooray, hooray. The rabbits are coming, hooray, hooray. The rabbits are coming, hooray, hooray.
Billions and billions of rabbits. Where were they all coming from?
From me, Doc. I'm multiplying, see? I'm multiplying.
Let's see, what can I do to this time next?
Remember when you said that you liking an episode of the series is almost as rare as us agreeing on something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't agree on that. and maybe it's because, like you said, maybe it's subconsciously reminded me of Transformers Animated and the garbage that was a little bit better than going through this series, but not by much. But yeah, I just did not care for this episode very much.
Really?
So, I mean, we'll get into some of the specifics, but maybe I'm not just a big proponent of these dream-like episodes that center around control and dreams and taking over people's dreams.
What I liked about it was we actually got to, like, I think we've seen it before, but I think they've moved them since then, but, like, the inner council or whatever, like, we actually get to see them we don't really get to see like individual characters for them, but we get to see the actual inner council, the shit that Severian's been talking about since the beginning of the series, and yada yada yada. And the fact that they're in a dream zone versus being in the real world, it's kind of like in Filmation He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is the secret of Grayskull? Besides the fact of the power swords between He-Man and She-Ra, like, but seriously, like, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. Well, where the hell does the power come from? What is the secret of Grayskull? We never actually ever found out. So this kind of reminds me of that, where it's like, hey, this is where these people are that help Primus be the way it's supposed to be and not be a, you know, cesspool like Denebria.
I get that, and I also enjoyed the focus on the Galactic Guardians as kind of a separate group in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like the sorceress's part that she plays in this episode as well. Well, it got off to a bad start right from the beginning for me a little bit, because it starts with a line, and I'll just quote it, submitted for your approval, as it's introducing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that was too much of a complete ripoff of Are You Afraid of the Dark? So, as well as probably other shows that have used that, but yeah, I thought that was kind of cheesy.
The
first
thing I thought of was either Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits, and I kind of liked it.
I like it in those settings. I don't like it when my cartoon's trying to... Unless it was like something that was like a thing that does a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just randomly doing it for this one episode, which makes it feel weird. Wow, the invention of the transporter. I mean, I guess. I know mm-hmm. it likes to be kind of like Star Wars and Star Trek at times in the series, but it was just kind of weird that they're showing like the invention of it instead of just using it as something that exists, since in most science fiction we don't have to go back and teach people what a transporter is anymore.
Yeah,
it's like going over Batman's origin like the 1700th time. Like, we all know what a transporter is by this point in mm-hmm. pop culture, et cetera, et cetera. But, man, my main problem is just with the dreams. So you can just take over dreams willy-nilly. We each control our own dreams, but there was one giant dream, which I didn't understand, besides the fact that you fucking can't control your dreams. You can't control what you dream. Can you control what you dream, Mike?
Sometimes
I can't control what I dream.
I can make choices.
I can control what I daydream.
Well, no,
I can try to be going, sitting in my bed, being like, oh, I hope I dream about this, and I can focus on it like real hard for like a half hour, and I'm probably not going to dream about it. I get that dreams sometimes take pieces of your daily activities or what you have going on in your mind or mm-hmm. what you've done or thought about or felt during the week or during the day, and insert that somewhat into your dream, but you're not physically controlling it. Like, it's subconscious.
It is subconscious, but you do, like, when I've, like, there are two very major ones that I had when I was 15 or 16, and it was about myself and this, at the time, dream girl that I had. We were actually together, but we were in this weird, weird place, but we had choices that we could make in this weird,
right.
weird place kind of a thing. So within the dream, I was controlling what I was doing in the dream, but I wasn't actually controlling whether, you know, what I'm dreaming about kind of a thing.
Right.
That's just the dream that happened, so...
Right.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, I get you have like individual decisions within your framework, but you don't pick the setting and the...
Oh, no. Like, how can you?
And the biggest thing, though, that's like more of a minor problem for me. My bigger problem in this episode is I would have been a little bit more fine with things if, you know, this character was having this dream, and then this character over here was having a separate dream, and then this third character was having a dream, and like they were manipulating each one independently.
Yeah.
But the idea that then they're all somehow included in, like, a big giant dream and they're interacting with each other's dreams, like, that's just getting to a crazy level at this point.
Yeah, they did something a little strange here where they're like, it's a dream, you have to think, you know. They basically combined, like, you know, whatever, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, the Dream Master, or whatever. Like, they combined that with Peter Pan. Like, because they specifically say, oh, make good choices, because if you think good thoughts, good things will happen. And then all these flowers appeared instead of a monster.
Right. It's like
something.
I could have seen it going down this route, where, like, you're having each one of the Galactic Guardians, He-Man, et cetera, that are all having their individual dreams. And then it kind of does one of those things like we've seen in certain series or even cartoons where you're there's those situations where somebody has like some type of spell or potion or curse or telekinetic ability where they like make each person imagine like their worst fear, mm-hmm. or like, you know, like that type of thing, like, you know, the arachnophobic person all of a sudden is being attacked by spiders and this, that, and the other. I remember seeing that in like Star Trek The Next Generation, among a lot of other places. So like, I would have been fine if they would have gone down that route, but then for the fact that like all these characters are showing up in each other's dreams, I'm like, this is too much. Like, this is just being convenient, like created so it can be a convenient story where they're all together in the same place. Like, so that's where I really had an issue with it. But what other things did you like or dislike about it?
I just thought it was fun. I just thought it was something so different and so separate from all the other boring stories that we've gotten so far that it was just super, super fun.
Gotcha. Mm. What about awards? Did you have any highlights?
The usual. I mean, Skeletor is going to be the winner for Power Swords. Because his line, like, you know, the fact that wasn't he the one that narrated that for submitted for your approval? Like, wasn't that him doing that?
I believe so.
Like, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I forgave that, because like, if one of the scientists was doing that, I'll be like, writers, what the hell did you do? Do not give them those lines. Come on now. But because it's Skeletor, it's like, that's kind
of
cool.
And that's one of the main reasons why this series is such a problem, is because there's very few characters that you can like and enjoy in this manner. Like, that's why Skeletor is probably going to be a runaway for both of us as far as Power Swords.
The only other
characters that I can even think of that are usually like 9 times out of 10 are enjoyable are some of the robots. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them, but like you're saying, the scientists are garbage. Most of the minions, as far as both on the good and the bad side, are just eh. Like, some of them are average at best, maybe just slightly above average a couple times, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I did have a sorceress power sword this time, just because she kind of saved the day.
I can't bring myself to give her one. She shows up like 5 times in the series or whatever it is.
She shows up more than I thought she was going to. I thought it was going to be like one cameo and then that was it. But
yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to be a little bit higher on the episode rating on this one than I am. I gave this one a 2 out of 5 for me. How high were you?
I gave it a 4.
Notice I said how high you were when you came up with everything. Uh-huh. So a 2 for me, a 4 for you. That's what we get when we go into the dream zone. Maybe I just don't like anybody fucking with my dreams. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll change from the subconscious to the brain itself. And we'll try to drain Mike's brain.
Let's not, and say we didn't.
It wouldn't take long.
It says you.
Get ready for action-packed excitement as the most powerful man in the universe comes to television in a fantastic world of dragons and sorcery. Join He-Man and the Masters of the Universe right here Monday through Friday. They'll be coming your way soon. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Up next is episode 44, The Brain Drain, written by Francis Moss and Ted Peterson. All right, so we're switching from dreams to more specific brain idea here with the plot. We have a plot basically where someone, I believe his name is Korak, comes into the story and offers to help Skeletor, Flog, and etc. by creating a device that's going to increase their brain power. So instead of Skeletor and them having to be frustrated with how dumb all of his minions are, the mutants, etc., that they're going to increase their intelligence, which is going to then help them combat He-Man, Galactic Guardians, etc. So what did you think of this one?
This is, again, the brain drain plot is so, I don't want to say overused, but I've seen it so many times before. And I predicted exactly what was going to happen throughout this entire episode. I'm like, yep, that's going to happen. Yep, that. Oh, hey, look, there's this. Like, I knew everything that was going to happen with this. Like, because as soon as you make the mutants smart or smarter than you, they're going to say the hell with you and try to take over. And then you're going to end up, you know, making them dumb again so they can't. And yada, yada, yada. I did think it was kind of cool showing the mutants as actually being, especially Slushhead. Slushhead's a dumbass, you normally, right, most of the time. But so showing him, what's crazy to me is, like, I get it that Flog and to a lesser extent Skeletor, I guess maybe to more of an extent Skeletor, they are the quote-unquote leaders of the mutants, but I'm surprised they didn't spray Flog with this, because Flog is pretty fucking dumb. I mean,
right.
Flog and Slushhead kind of on the same level, intellectually. Yeah. Like, neither one of them... I think
that's one of the main problems of this entire series overall, if I was like to critique the series in general, is they have too many of the bad guys who are just brain dead. Yep. Like, I get that sometimes you're going to have villains that are not as smart or whatever, you know, is going to be their Achilles heel or their tragic flaw. But I would much prefer a band of villains that instead they are not succeeding because of, you know, maybe ego, maybe pride, maybe, you know, they get tricked or they... something of that nature. Like, even if you take the original He-Man series, you had Eva Lyn, who was not dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody could say that Eva Lyn was dumb. So you had Skeletor and Eva Lyn for sure that were smart. All right. And not that at times they didn't do dumb things or whatever, but they generally, you know, were smart enough to come up with strategies and things like that. And there was a number of other villains that were not necessarily completely brain dead. Like, you get a couple of them. Like, no one's going to say Beastman's super smart or whatever, but he wasn't dumb to the level of Slushhead or something like that.
Yeah.
No. Or if you think of, like, I know you, this will work for you because you're very familiar with it, but think of Beast Wars for a second, where you have, like, villains like Tarantulas and all these other ones that are conniving, that are strategic, that are, you know, thinking. Like, I need some semblance of intelligence with my villains. I can't have them all just be, you know, knuckleheads. And in this series, you get that way too much. So I get that it's a cool thing to say, hey, we have a bunch of villains that are really dumb, so we're going to make them smart for an episode. But the problem is over the course of the series, they are all so dumb so often. So
yeah,
that's one thing I have.
See, the comparison to Beast Wars, and I don't know if Steve Megatron will be listening to this, so he might be, you know, throwing his rubber ducky at the wall at this point. The comparison to Beast Wars makes sense in certain, like, the beginnings, like with... not Inferno, Pterosaur or Scorponok. Like, those guys, Pterosaur and Scorponok are like Flog and Slushhead. They're not as right. dumb. They're not as dumb as Flog and Slushhead, because Flog and Slushhead really kind of, like, take the dumbness award right. and run with it. But it's the, yeah, I see,
that,
yeah.
You mix that with, like, a Dinobot or a Tarantulas or a, you know, all these different other characters that have different motives that are on the fence of whether they're going to be involved or not, which we even got in the original He-Man, where we had characters that were somewhat working on their own that weren't necessarily loyal to Skeletor as much as they were loyal to their own needs. You had, right. you know, you had some of that back and forth or some of that more creativity when you had somebody that wasn't just a box of rocks, which in this series, every single bad guy except for Skeletor basically is a dumb box of rocks.
And Skeletor has to play his evilness down
right.
half the time. Like, this is not full-on Skeletor evil. Again, hashtag not my Skeletor, even though I love this Skeletor, but this is not, like... I get it. It's a different Skeletor. It's not Filmation Skeletor. It's not 2002 Skeletor. I understand that. However, at some point before this ends, and I don't think it's ever going to happen, I want him to just push Flog aside and just take over. Right. At the same time, Skeletor's downfall, as we'll see, it's either in this episode or the next one today, his downfall is constantly wanting to just go after He-Man.
Right.
And, like, that's his Achilles heel. That's his, you know, that's his wishbone in his foot, or whatever you want to call it, kind of a thing. Right. And I don't know, like...
Another thing I didn't like about the execution here was that so they have this thing, you know, they put all the mutants through this process, make mm-hmm. them all intelligent, and you can easily just communicate that with the viewer by the dialogue. Like, you can easily have some dialogue where all of a sudden they're sounding smarter, they're using bigger words, they're not talking with, you know, slurs or pauses or whatever. Like, we would get that they're smart, but they, like, have to go that extra mile and have them, like, drawing on a chalkboard randomly and mm-hmm. making little squiggly lines. Like, I don't know if that's evidence of them being smart, drawing little squiggly lines on a chalkboard. So we could probably do without those little aspects. Just have them talk smarter and know more things. Like, I don't need it all of a sudden to be like a school setting where they're answering equations about physics and shit, especially by drawing little squiggly lines instead of actual numbers or letters or anything.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did appreciate about this episode, not that it was a terrible episode, I mean, I think it's an average episode, but one thing that did elevate that kind of storyline that you said, you know, we've gotten a lot of these situations where people become smarter. Many different cartoon series, especially action cartoons, have done this. I like the fact that they had the agent of this, the Korat character, who mm-hmm. approached Skeletor first, and then clearly Skeletor and Flog, etc., were not as welcoming or as appreciative of what he brought them, so they kind of do him wrong right away. And I like the fact that they have Korak then go to He-Man or go to Adam, I can't remember which version he's going to, but he goes to them and says, hey, this is what is happening, this is what I did, this is why, you know. So it wasn't a situation where they were going to go in unprepared for what they were facing. I thought it was cool, because you usually don't see a side character like this go and do stuff with both sides of the coin, I guess.
Only in the 80s/90s, the only time I can actively remember is season 3 of Transformers, when Astrotrain got fed up with Galvatron and he went to Rodimus or that kind of, like, I remember specifically.
More so about like a completely, like someone that's not part of either faction.
Right.
Where you have like this one-off character, or maybe even a recurring character that is approaching both sides within the same episode, like that's a little more rare. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. We've seen it before, but it's just a nice little twist to it that it's not. It didn't go the expected route where He-Man and those guys are going to go in and not, you know, underestimate their opponents necessarily because, oh wow, they're smart now. It's like, well, we've actually been told that we know what's going on and we know what we have to do to fix it. So I thought that was an interesting moment. Other things that you liked or disliked about this one?
I just thought it was fun at first. I thought it was fun. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. Again, a lot of Skeletor's lines in this were hilarious, because my last note was that poor Skeletor, the guy just can't get a break. He has to hide his evilness. He can't take over because, you know, he wants to use Flog for all he can without really, you know, using the guy, you know, letting him know that he's using him, kind of a thing. And it just, Skeletor just can't get a break in this series.
No, absolutely not. Any specific characters that stood out for you one way or the other?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
Like I said, other than Skeletor, not really.
Yeah. Let's see if we're closer on this one than we were on the last one. Last one, I had a 2 and you had a 4. Where are you at on this one?
On this one, I am at a 3.5.
Okay. You've gone down to a 3.5 from a 4. I've gone up from a 2 to a 3. So we're at a 3 and a 3.5. I think, you know, it's just maybe the slightest margin above average. Like, it's average to just barely above average, in my opinion. So it's not the worst episode we've seen, that's for sure.
That's very true.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to see if Mike will join the Army.
No, we're going to let Pauly Shore take care of that.
Okay.
It's just like your childhood, remember? Yeah, you're right. That guy is exactly like my dad.
See? Come on.
Wait a minute, though! My childhood sucked! No, I can't do it, man. I can't handle being yelled at by some muscle-bound drill sergeant. No, man, I can't do it.
Get the hell off the truck!
Oh, whoa. She can drill me anytime.
On the double right now! Come on, move it!
Hello, sweet pants.
Get down here! Get down!
Oh, rough stuff.
Okay. And take those glasses off!
Go.
What, do you think, you want some beach or something?
Wait, no.
What's your name, Private?
Bones Carr, we're reporting for duty, sir!
All right.
I mean, man, sergeant, whatever.
You will address me as drill sergeant. Don't you understand?
Yes, but you don't need to yell, because look, I'm standing right here.
I'm not yelling at you, Private. Drill sergeants do not yell. We simply speak in a voice loud enough so everyone can hear. That way we all learn from each other's mistakes!
Oh, okay, thanks for explaining it.
From here on out, your butt is mine. You will obey every order! without question! Grunt! Oh, you a funny boy, huh? Cutie pie, right? Mm. Well, I don't know you, but I don't even like you. And I make it my personal mission to turn you into a soldier. For the next 8 weeks, I'll be all over your butt like white old rice!
Is that a promise?
Give me 20.
Want my wallet?
Drop and give me 20!
Here, hold this.
Boy, you better get on that ground and give me them push-ups!
All right, last up today is episode 45. It's You're in the Army Now, also by Francis Moss and Ted Peterson. Obviously, we have a situation where we have some recruits. We have like a more of like an army setting, and we have a trial in which Adam is found guilty and put in prison. So we have a lot of things working together as he's trying to find a way out. They're trying to figure out who is the mole that possibly leaked information or set him up. And some other things. So what did you think about in You're in the Army Now?
I think Pauly Shore did it better. And Pauly Shore movies are, you know, meh at best half the time. Right. But this was just bad.
Interesting.
The only thing that saves this episode from being a zero is some of the Skeletor lines. The rest of it was just bad. Like, at first, like in the very beginning of it, when they're in the courtroom, you don't, like, I didn't really notice the fact that it was Adam sitting there at first. Like the first 5 minutes of it, did not really notice it was Adam. They cut to Kaz and I'm like, wait, Kaz is on trial, really, seriously? And then I realized, oh shit, it's Adam, damn it. And this reminds me again of the Filmation era where Man-at-Arms and Teela would try to train him, kind of a thing. And you specifically see him trying to be trained in this. And it just, like, I get it. He has to play it off. And it, by the end, I understand he doesn't want to play it off, you know, when he's fighting Evan or Everett or whatever his name is. You know, and he wants to do it as Adam so he can prove to himself, not necessarily everybody else, but himself, that he can actually do it without being He-Man. And I understand that. But this was just... ugh.
Remember when you said about... I actually like this episode. I like the plot. I like the idea that we're going to get to see a little bit of the recruitment process for the Guardians there. Kind of their little...
I did like that part, but the rest of it, meh.
I thought it was also cool because of the recruiting process, we got to see each one of the Masters in a different, like, light. We got a little bit of a focus on each one at a time, as they're kind of going through and teaching them some stuff. And I kind of like the predicament that we have for Adam, because he's on trial, he's in jail, he can't just turn into He-Man and solve everything, so he has to find another way to do that. So I always like it when they find, like, a creative way to make it so it's not just as easy to go, hey, I'm He-Man, and that type of thing. I think it does get a little convenient with how they get to the point where he can become He-Man and do this, that, and the other. But outside of that, I didn't really have too many complaints about it. I thought it was an interesting enough plot. Yeah, there's not a lot of... I mean, there is enough. I think it was a good balance of action and everything else, too. So
yeah, there was a good balance, but the problem was, like... I don't know, it's just... like, having an Adam on trial episode, really? Like, yes, it's great for Adam and his character. I agree with that. Like, yes, absolutely. But I just feel that it could have been told a different way. Because what they basically do is they start out with the trial, and then they go and go and go and go, and then He-Man or Adam or whomever has to recount it to Master Severian to catch him up. I don't know.
I think it could have been better if there was a little bit more setup at the beginning, like spent a little bit more time on getting there, because it's not going to be as dramatic of an episode when we just start off with them already finding him guilty, basically. Like they call two witnesses and then he's guilty, and we don't even have a setup for a lot of that. Like, I wish they would have spent like 10 minutes of the episode setting that up, and then, or even 15 minutes, and then having the dramatic, like, cliff breaker, the episode's half through, we're going to go to commercial with Adam's guilty and he's going to be in jail and now he can't be He-Man right away. And then spend the last 10 to 15 minutes figuring out how he's going to solve that, you know, unmask the traitor, so to speak, and then kind of go from there. So I think it could have been executed a little better, but for the most part, I still somewhat enjoyed the framework that they had set up.
Yeah, I could do without it.
Anybody that stood out one way or another, good, bad?
Not really. Skeletor had a few good lines, but not enough. Like, I didn't laugh specifically at Skeletor, so...
Gotcha.
Nobody this time around.
So you're at, like, a 1 for this one?
Pretty much, yep.
All right, I'm at a 3.5. So we'll differ again on this one, vice versa from the first episode. So, but for me, in the main part, I mean, I was 2, 3, and 3.5 on these episodes. So nothing spectacularly bad or spectacularly good for me. Obviously, you had one episode at the beginning that you liked a little bit, and then one episode at the end that you didn't. So, a little bit different experience for you. I was kind of flatlining this whole time. So, so that does it for this episode. We'll be right back after the break to close things out and let you guys know what's coming next episode.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinemageek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton. Rob Paulson.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
We are back, and this episode we were going to plan on revealing Arch Design's feedback that she sent in. She sent us a voicemail due to both my life and Kevin's life and everything we've had going on personally outside of podcasting. We're going to delay that a week, so your feedback, Raina, will be in episode 98. Rather have it in an even episode than an odd episode, wouldn't you? So there's that. What else? What else do we need to bring up before we, you know...
Don't need to bring up much else outside of they need to get their act together, get this live-action movie done, get the She-Ra Netflix series out, so we can make this a never-ending journey.
No, this is not going to be the never-ending story part 3.
It's a song that never ends.
God, no. And just for anyone that's wondering... If we eventually do cover the She-Ra Netflix series, it will be under Tooncast on that show, not on this show, because we agreed 6 years ago, 125 episodes, and that's it.
That's all, folks.
That's all, so, folks.
We're just going to continue to trudge through this nonsense until we can get to the 2000 series, and that's about all there is as far as news.
Yep, that's about all there is. So... We'll catch you next time, folks. I don't even have anything anymore.
Oh, I can give you the three episodes that are coming out next.
Oh, there's that, yeah.
Yeah. So next time we're going to cover three more episodes. Here's the titles of those. We got No Easy Way, The Guns of Nordor. I swear to God, that's Lord of the Rings. And, oh, Lord. The Bride of Slushhead.
So, if anyone actually reads the descriptions, whether in iTunes or wherever you get them, or if you read the posts on the website, I usually try my best to make a sentence out of whatever episode titles are. Episode 98, which is the next episode. This week, there is no easy way to tell you that the Guns of Nordor belong to the Bride of Slushhead.
That's that easy. I am not looking forward to the Bride of Slushhead. But I'm interested to see where Nordor is and if there's any hobbits there.
Yeah, let's hope not. So, by the power and for the whatever the hell, hashtag not my He-Man, hashtag not my Skeletor, we're going to get out of here.
The magic and the power and the mystery.
Oh, no! It's too gruesome!
Another one of your tech-mutant stupid inventions? What is it? A place for mutants to take their afternoon naps?